Johnson. It is great to see everyone here. We welcome our guests here today. We have Kimberly and Wesley, and they have brought Wyatt here for baptism today. So it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. We have a blue rose. Tim and Becca and Brenda and John out of the grandparents. £3.15.
No, 3.9. 3.9?
Wow. I was born 3 pounds, 2 ounces, so I beat you. A lot of different.
It's a ringing endorsement.
We have the sign-up sheet. Lori has the sign-up sheet for the cookie walk, cookie sale. So this is real important. I didn't forget it, so we can post that up over there. It's going to be posted in the hallway down here, so please sign up for that. You're here. She goes, I'm not going to be here, so make the announcement. So. Okay, we have a lot of stuff. First, I want to tell our guests here today that the insert here, you don't have to look at it now. It's just that's where some of the music is in here. And if it says a hymn, it's in your blue hymnal, which is right in front of you. So you can, the other stuff you can pretend to follow along with if you want to. Does anyone have anything you would like to announce this morning?
No.
The nursery is down here to your right. It's in the back. You can take the children down there. Lori would love to help take care of your children. Do we have any announcements on here? Ruth, do you have about the cantata? Would you like to mention that? Is there anything we need to get?
It's a whole big insert. We're doing a cantata. It's going to be January 1st, which is a Sunday. So the deal is you decide if you want to do a song, you decide who's going to do it and what the song is, and then you tell me by December 11th, and then I will write a narrative to go with the cantata. We will produce our own cantata, okay? Right. You have children who do musical instruments, maybe Sunday school. Worship team is good for a song. I've already got Deb Melvin signed up. So let me know before December 11th.
Okay, and Advent is about 3 weeks away, so Christmas is right around the corner, so we're not pushing it here. Christmas boxes, we have a couple left.
We have more.
So let us know if you need one. Does anyone have anything else they would like to announce this morning or bring up? Other than the fact there's a trustees and a diaconate meeting following our service. Well, let us now stand for our introit, which is found in the insert. Shout for the Lord.
I'm
Gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Our Lord is good to all.
And his compassion is over all that he has made.
Our Lord is near to all who call on him.
To all who call on him in truth.
He fulfills the desire of all who fear him.
He also hears their cry and saves them.
The Lord watches over all who love him. He will speak the praise of the Lord.
And all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Please. Good morning, Lord. What an amazing November day that we have before us, both inside and out. On a day which we are blessed with September weather, an additional hour of sleep, we celebrate as a family in Wyatt's baptism and your gift of communion. We lift up our hearts in love and adoration and praise you for your greatness. You are the great and mighty King, and all glory belongs to you. We lift ourselves and our church before you, that your will be done, both in our hearts and in our service. Our hearts burst with joy when we think of you. Thank you for all you have done and everything you will do. In the name of Jesus, we join together in the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first Bible reading this morning is from the book of Job, chapter 19, starting with verse 23. And you can find that at page 405 of your pew Bibles. Oh, that my words were written down. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and with lead they were engraved on a rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last day he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, then in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side. And my eyes shall behold, and not another. So the second reading is also from the Old Testament. It is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 28, and that is found on page 480 of your pew Bibles. I sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Please be seated.
I think we can get Wyatt to come up and play the drums.
Good
feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark will stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all? All creation growing.
Yes.
Is a new creation coming?
Yes.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
Yes.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of? Of all blessing and honor and glory, is he worthy of this?
Yes.
Does the Father truly love us?
Yes.
Does the Spirit move among us?
Today, Kimberly and Wesley bring their son to our church for the sacrament of holy baptism. We rejoice in God's promises to those who take this significant step in faith. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as God called and chose his servant people Israel and made a covenant with them, saying, "I will bless your God and you will be my people." So in the fullness of time, God called and chose Jesus Christ to fulfill this covenant for all. Through his birth, his life, and his death, and his resurrection, God has made a new covenant of grace whereby we say, I am yours and the people you have given me. Today we come to claim the promises of the new covenant, rejoicing that our Savior, Jesus Christ, instituted baptism as a visible sign of the covenant making, our washing with water by the words, our habitat in Christ crucified and risen, our bonding in water with brothers and sisters in Christ, our solidarity with those with whom he is in solidarity, and our commissioning to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Wyatt, would you bring your mom and dad and sponsors forward? That's fine. Let us hear baptism's promise and call. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew 28. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith and one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Ephesians 4. Do you desire that Wyatt be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? If you, proclaiming this covenant with Jesus Christ, do you renounce all powers of evil and declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to teach the word of God to your child, to pray for and to help him in every way, so that he may become a true disciple of Jesus Christ? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, do you promise to enable Wyatt to participate fully in the life of the local body of Christ, to do justice and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our Lord? Do you, as sponsors, do you promise to pray for and support these parents in the promises that they have made, as well as to pray for and to help this child to confess the Christian faith on his own? People of God, do you promise to uphold and support Wyatt in his life of Christ? If so, please say, with God's help, we will.
With God's help, we will.
God, our Creator and Redeemer, you have called us from death to new life. We thank you for your saving love in Jesus Christ our Lord, for the sacrament of grace and what it means to the church. As we baptize with water, baptizing with the Holy Spirit, and as we speak, let it be your words. As we act, let it be your work in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Down. Ready to go, buddy? Hand off. As they say, huh? Don't. I gotta go this way, buddy. I'm left-handed. Wyatt, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. Oops, Son's on the move. Son. And the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. And may you go in his peace. We lift up now before Wyatt, chosen by God today. We lift them up before you. Do you know them? Let's go for a walk. Hi there, huh? Yeah? Not as comfortable as mommy and daddy, though, huh? Yeah, look at these people. Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless them right. There you go. go. You are back home. Through the covenant of grace, Wyatt is now received into the nurture and care of the Christian church. See what great love our Father has lavished on us, that we would be called the children of God. And that is what we are today. Amen. Go now in his peace. Thank you.
Now for the prayers of the church. If you'd join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the little ones that you have given us. We ask you to help us be diligent and loving and kind, and to point them in the right direction, to show them you and your love. We pray for our families, Lord, for the families that we have biologically and the families that we have outside of our biological families, the friends that you have given us, the family of faith here. I ask you, Lord, to watch over and take care of Carolyn Stratman, Alice Nelson, Art Peel, Karen and George Anacoli, Rogine LaPlante, and all those who mourn the death of a lost one, all those who struggle with health issues, with their work issues, all those of us who are taking care of aging parents. I ask you, Father, to watch over the election that is coming up on Tuesday and to guide and direct in that. I ask you to be with our leaders and the people in our government, that you would give them good advisors, Lord, and wisdom and honesty and integrity. I pray, Lord, for the church, for this church, and for the church leaders, for our boards, our committees, for the budget committee that will be working on a budget for next year, for the nominating committee that is working on who will be in positions of leadership with us next year. I ask you to watch over Pastor Gary and to encourage him and give him the resources that he needs to do the work that you have given him here to do among us. I ask you, Lord, to watch over the search committee that will be formed in about a month, on December 4th, Lord, we'll be choosing that committee, and I ask you to guard and to guide in that selection, that the people that you want to be on that committee will be the ones chosen. I ask you, Lord, to draw us wholly into a life with you, to help us to be able to commit completely to you, Lord, that we would consult you in everything that we do, that our hearts and minds would be yours. And most importantly, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. He is worthy of all honor and glory and power and majesty and might and all our love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Now I'd ask you to rise and we will do the confession of sin, which is in the bulletin. It is in unison. This is in preparation for the communion service to come. Read with me. Merciful God, in baptism you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we remain preoccupied with ourselves, separated from one another. We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show reluctance to welcome one another. We allow the past to hold us captive. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from sin. Fulfill the promises of our baptism so that we may rise to new life and live together in grace as we silently confess our individual sins to you now.
If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us all of our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. God is good.
All the time, God is good.
We practiced this. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Whew. I'm going to have to do this every week, you know. It's truly amazing that sometimes when we stop and think of all the stuff, all the negative, the sometimes hurtful, life-changing developments, heart-wrenching losses that have landed in our laps over the years, for some of us more than for others. But we have somehow kept ourselves moving forward. No matter how hard life can get sometimes, no matter what is thrown at us, fair or not, we rely on instinct and we move on through faith. The fact is, deep in our hearts, we know no matter what happens, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
We got to work on that. There are plenty of facts that stick in our mind. I mean, I know for myself, there's a lot of worthless stuff just floating around in there that I can remember at a drop of a hat. But sometimes some theological question will be way over in another room. But I can tell you sometimes what happened on Gilligan's Island or at Andy Griffith or some baseball card on the back of it. I've got that. Some useless facts that float around. Americans eat 18 acres of pizza every day. It's physically impossible to lick your elbow. Many of you who are here today will at one point today try to actually lick your elbow. It's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open. A duck's quack doesn't echo, and nobody knows why. No word in the English language rhymes with month, orange, silver, or purple. Each year, donkeys kill more people than airplane crashes. Walt Disney was afraid of mice. He was terrified. Grapes explode when heated in the microwave. Within 24 hours, several kids and a few men here will be cleaning grapes from the inside of your microwave. Now, some things aren't worth knowing, and they're not worth remembering. But today, we're going to discover a few things worth knowing, and we'll discover which one is the most important thing worth knowing. As we study our scripture this morning found in the book of Job, we learn a few things about God and ourselves. Job's tale is the most famous rags-to-riches story in all of literature. In the middle of his suffering, Job speaks many amazing statements about his God. He reveals a powerful persistence to trust God throughout his pain. In Job 19, we get a glimpse of how bad things really got. And then we hear Job expressing his undying hope and trust in God. But even as bad as things were, well, how bad were they? If we had hours, we could get into all that happened to Job. But the one that stands out to me is what Job gets from his wife. Seeing her husband sitting in the dust, scraping his sores silently, she burst out, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." They would have made a great couple in a dating game. I mean, wow. In the midst of his suffering, and as bad as things were, Job refuses to quit. He made a profession of faith, which is the key to the entire book of Job. In 1991, Billy Crystal starred in a movie called City Slickers. He played a character named Mitch, who was a hard-driving urban executive who tried to get a bunch of his friends to go out west and to try to learn how to herd cattle. Jack Palance won an Oscar for playing the crusty old cowboy named Curly. In one scene when Mitch and Curly are riding along and Mitch is pouring out his heart about how miserable his life really is, Curly says, "Do you want to know the secret of life?" He holds up one finger. "This one thing, just one thing. You stick with that, and everything else doesn't mean, it don't mean nothing," he says. Mitch replied, "That's great, but what's the one thing?" "That's what you have to figure out," Curly says. Our friend Job, he came to the understanding in the midst of all his agony and all of his suffering, he hung on to that one thing that he knew was the most important thing. In verse 25, Job says, "I know my Redeemer lives." To cut to the chase, the one most important thing in life is knowing Jesus Christ as your Redeemer. Job uses his tears to magnify his sight, which helps him look ahead and believe that there is someone who would redeem his life from all of this destruction and agony. He didn't know his name was Jesus, but today we know Jesus as our Redeemer, who Job saw that day. Job had a personal relationship with his Redeemer. I would like to share with you seven characteristics of life-changing relationship with Jesus and what it means. You can know Jesus personally. There are a lot of things that Job didn't know. He didn't know why he was suffering. He didn't know why his friends were accusing him. And in the midst of all his uncertainty, he proclaimed that there was one thing that he did know. In the midst of all the uncertainty, Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives." He didn't say, "I hope." He didn't say, "I think." He didn't say, "Perhaps my Redeemer lives." He was positive. He said, "I know." Knowing God doesn't come from reading books or hearing a message. It happens when you meet Jesus Christ and you begin to know him in a personal way. Job knew God by experiencing God. Can you say that? Do you have that assurance? Can you say, "I know that. I know that I know my Redeemer lives"? Knowing Jesus involves knowing that he is alive. Number two, you can have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Job didn't say, "I know a Redeemer," or "I know the Redeemer." He said, I know my Redeemer lives. You can simply acknowledge Jesus as the ruler over the whole universe. But when you say Jesus is my Redeemer, Jesus is my Lord, it's an intimate relationship. You're confessing that he is the ruler of your life. An interesting quote I found online stated, one reason so many teenagers and college students go through a time of spiritual crisis is because they have time to decide for themselves what they have been taught by their parents, pastors, and teachers. Being born in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being born in a garage makes you a car. God has no grandchildren. Every single person must come to a place in their lives when they decide to crown Jesus as the Lord in their lives. Number three, you know Jesus as our Redeemer. Jesus didn't say, I know the Lord lives. He didn't say, I know God lives. Instead, he gave the very precise and specific title for God. He said, my Redeemer lives. The impact of the Redeemer can be seen in a wonderful story of Ruth. When she and Naomi returned home as widows, and they had no claim on any of Naomi's property because her husband had died, and they were destitute. The hero of the story is a handsome man named Boaz who falls in love with Ruth and he marries her. In that act, he becomes a kinsman redeemer, and he bought back all of her property that once belonged to Naomi's family. This is a wonderful picture of what Jesus, our Redeemer, has done for us. Jesus is our champion who came to pay the price for our sins so that we can be a part of God's family. He is our blessed Redeemer. In Titus 2:14, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, he bought us back. I read a little story recently about a little boy who made a miniature boat. He carefully crafted this boat out of wood and he made it watertight. And then he cut some pieces and he made a little sail for it. And then he took it down by the pond and he put it in and it was floating. But a big gust of wind came and took it across the pond. And he went running down along trying to catch up to it. And he never could find it. So he thought it sunk. And then one day he's walking by a toy store and there in the window is this little sailboat. So he goes in and says, hey, that's mine. The owner says, some guy came in last week and I paid him $5 for it. So if you give me $5, you can take it. So the little boy went home. He didn't have that amount of money. So he raked lawns and he pulled weeds and he did everything he could. And finally, he had the money. And he ran back to the toy store and he laid down a couple of wrinkled dollars and some change. And the man gave the little boy the boat. He walked outside and he hugged it to himself and he said, you're mine now. You're twice mine. Because I made you, and now I have bought you. That is what our Redeemer did for us. He made us, and then he bought us back from the penalty of sin. You can have a living relationship with Jesus. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. He didn't say, I know my Redeemer lived, or I know my Redeemer will live. Job knew one day that he would die. But his Redeemer lives and would live forever. Jesus isn't just one of the several religious leaders who lived and died. Jesus lived, he died, and he rose from the dead. And he is alive forevermore. I love the song, He Lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives?
He lives within my heart.
Nailed it. He lives within my heart. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4-8 that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for all those who love his appearing. Do you long for his appearing? There's a difference between loving Jesus and loving his appearing. You can look forward to the return of Jesus. As Job looked through his tears, he made the statement, he said, in the end, he will stand up upon the earth. Throughout the Bible, we read that one day when Jesus returns, he will stand up upon the earth. You can have a permanent relationship with Jesus. Job knew that he was going to die. Yet he confessed death wouldn't be the end of him. He believed, in my flesh, I will see God. We live in a throwaway world. There is nothing, barely anything that is permanent. I mean, even permanent pens aren't permanent. The only thing permanent in life is our relationship with Jesus. Death will mean a change in every human relationship. But the one relationship that won't be changed by death is our relationship with Jesus. It's the only permanent relationship that we can have. For that reason, Job didn't fear death, and neither should we. Our last one, you are to be passionate about knowing Jesus. As Job looked forward to the time when he would see his Redeemer's face, he would see him face to face, he said, how my heart yearns within me. Whenever he thought about it, his heart would beat a little faster. His smile crept onto his face, and tears filled his eye. He was passionate about seeing his Redeemer. Is there anything in your life or your next life that you're passionate about? Is there anything that gets your heart beating faster and faster whenever you think about it? In Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul recounted all the advantages and education he had had and his accomplishments he had enjoyed since birth. But then he wrote, all of his physical, intellectual, and educational pedigrees were nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. He was passionate about it. And he wrote, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surprising greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. And for those sake, I have lost everything. So what was the one important thing? It is knowing Jesus. Do you know him? Can you say, I know? Can you say, Jesus is my Redeemer? Do you understand that Jesus paid the price to redeem you? Do you know Jesus lives right now? Do you realize Jesus is going to return to earth in victory one day? And do you realize your relationship with Jesus is the only permanent relationship possible in your life? And finally, are you passionate about knowing Jesus? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Participation in our meal is your own choice. The meal is for all who confess their faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We gather together in the presence of our Shepherd God, who calls us each by name, who restores our souls, who leads us in the way of righteousness, and whose goodness and love never stops pursuing us. This is the God we have come today to worship. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life. All who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them. All who would walk in the love of neighbors and intended to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to receive this holy sacrament. Come to the sacred table this morning, not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in your frailty and your sin, you stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express your opinion, but to seek God's presence and pray for the Spirit. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, and that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where, with all your saints, we will be gathered in glory everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Paul goes on to tell us that he took the cup. "This is the cup in the new covenant of my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And Paul reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again.
Thank you. peace, the body of Christ is broken for you. God, for the people of God, taken in the remembrance of Christ who died for you, we feed on him and with our hearts and with thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, that all that is within us. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all not his benefits. Loving God, you graciously have fed us this day. We who receive these holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation, may we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Amen. Those of you who are members of our congregation, please join together in our words of our relational covenant found on the insert. It's like on page 14 in the back. Standing for that. Please stand. Let our intentions with others be based on Colossians 3:11-17.
Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness,
blessing of Wyatt's baptism. Blessing for this beautiful weather. Blessing for this time together. We lift it all before you. We praise and thank you. And we give this your day, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us join together in our closing hymn, number 366. Please join us downstairs for something to eat and a little refreshments afterwards. The grass withers and the flowers fade. The word of our Lord endures forever. Go in his peace. Amen.